You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Piece to Wara. Back to Matthews. Matthews unloads on the three. No good, but Portis taps it right back up and in. Still down by 13. Bucks with it. Three-pointer from Holiday, and he'll can it from the left wing.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
122-107 loss here at Fiserv Forum in front of a sellout crowd who didn't have nearly as much to cheer about as they would have liked tonight.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, the Bucks lose to the Blazers tonight, 122-107 in a very, very frustrating loss. Another game where you really needed a strong performance from Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. And one of those instances where the final box score can be a bit deceiving. You look at that and you say, well, Chris finished just one assist short of a triple-double. But then you do a deeper look and you see 1 of 8 on threes. 3 of 15 from the field. Not a whole lot of ball movement from the Bucks as a team, but the turnovers and rebounding, the biggest issue for this Bucks team in this game tonight. Chris Middleton did have 9 assists, but he also had 4 turnovers. Jrue Holiday had 6 assists and 7 turnovers. Therein lies the problem. The Bucks as a team tonight finished with 18 assists. 15 of them came from Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday. They also turned the ball over 13 times. 11 of those came from Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday. So you got the good and the bad from both of that Bucks duo tonight. But it was sharp shooting from Anfernee Simons. And Yusef Nurkic going to work on the glass just dominated as the Bucks just did not have an answer for the Bosnian beast. And the Blazers beat the Bucks tonight, 122-107. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line, the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, which as always is presented by Gruber Law Offices. The question we begin the show with is simple. Serge Ibaka, Serge Ibaka, did he meet or exceed your expectations? 855-616-1620. And look, I know this is one game. I wouldn't say I was not discouraged. I wasn't down on the move. We can get into that. This is our first show really getting into the Dante DiVincenzo trade. I know we touched on it a little bit on Thursday in that loss to the Phoenix Suns, but we can open up some more time for that tonight now that we've had a chance to see Dante play 2 games with his new team. And now that we've had a chance to see Serge Ibaka, we'll get to the Dante discussion in just a moment. I looked at that trade as basically something that needed to happen for both parties. You needed some more size, and it was pretty apparent, and John Horst alluded to this as well. I think both the Bucks and Dante DiVincenzo just needed a break. Dante DiVincenzo was not really ever going to get the opportunity to fully flourish and develop here, especially with the emergence of Grayson Allen. But Dante DiVincenzo was never going to be more than the fourth option on this team at best case scenario. In Sacramento, he gets a fresh start. He's going to get some more opportunities. So it's encouraging for Dante DiVincenzo. If you're the Bucks, you're contending for a championship. You're looking to defend a title. And right now, what are the biggest areas that you need some help in immediately? Well, it's in the backcourt, finding another ball handler, and especially with the absence of Pat Connaughton. But you need some size. Look at what happened tonight. Look at what had happened the last couple of weeks leading up to that Western Conference trip. You need some help in the front court. And Serge Ibaka, I think we saw glimpses of tonight. He gives that to you. And I think when you look at the minutes that Serge Ibaka played tonight, which, by the way, really surprised me. In the starting lineup, not so much the surprise, but 31 minutes from Serge Ibaka. When that trade happened, I thought realistically you could expect 15, maybe 20 minutes a night from Serge. He wasn't playing all that much with the Los Angeles Clippers. He had started to play much better really the last two full months of the season, and had more and more games where he looked like the Serge Ibaka that he was with the Toronto Raptors. But realistically, you thought, okay, this is a guy that's coming off of back surgery. We know how cautious the Bucks are with a number of their guys. I wouldn't expect more than 15 or so minutes from Serge Ibaka. And if you get Brook Lopez back in the mix, which John Horst certainly indicated, there is a strong sense and a strong belief that, yes, Brook Lopez is going to be back before the playoffs. Get Serge Ibaka back around that, around Bobby Portis, around Giannis. It's not P.J. Tucker. But it does give you the ability to play a little bit differently, maybe not quite as versatile and not as many different looks as the Bucks could throw out there with P.J. Tucker in the mix a season ago. But it does give you more versatility and flexibility with Serge Ibaka. We saw it at times tonight, the differences between Serge Ibaka and Bobby Portis. And if this means, too, Bobby Portis can transition back to the bench and be one of those scorers, as we touched on, what that bench really lacks, another name in the buyout market could really, really fill that void, is that punch off the bench. Coach Budenholzer's talked about this a couple of times as well. Bobby Portis is a guy that could fill that role. Tonight, Jordan Wara filled that role. There was good and bad with this game. There was good and bad with Serge Ibaka. There was good and bad with Jordan Wara. Chris Middleton as well. Overall, there was a lot of good and a lot more bad tonight that we saw from the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Your overall impressions of Serge Ibaka: meet, exceed, or was he below expectations? And again, more on this trade, because now we've seen Dante DiVincenzo play a couple of games with his new team. We've seen some of the things that Serge Ibaka can give you. So more on this deal that the Bucks made to play for a championship once again this season and close the door on the Dante DiVincenzo experience here in Milwaukee. We'll get to that. I mentioned a big name on the buyout market, still not officially on the buyout market, but the Bucks have been linked to him. Who is your number one target on the buyout market? We will get to that. And in the spirit of Valentine's Day, we will turn things over to Greg Hill as well. A lot to get to here on the next hour of Bucks Talk. 855-616-1620 is the number to reach us. Your thoughts on Serge Ibaka. I know it's only 31 minutes, but what do you think of the first game from Serge? We'll get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Portland leading 74-56 goes the other way. Allen tips the pass. He takes the lead on the steal. He's going the other way into the front court. Top of the arc, tees it up and knocks it down. Three-pointer from Grayson Allen, his third of the night.
This was a lot like the Phoenix Suns game on Thursday, in a sense that first quarter, first half of the second quarter, it was a lot of back and forth, a lot of lead changes, and you thought, okay, this Blazers team is, they're frisky. They're not going away. And then not only did they not go away, they kicked the Bucks out of the house and said, actually, this is our place now. You're going to need to leave. And the Blazers just boat raced the Bucks in that second quarter. Anthony Simons, really the biggest problem for the Bucks in that quarter. In the game as a whole was Anthony Simons. He scored 31, but looking in that second quarter, he and Josh Hart dominated. 16 from Simons, 10 from Josh Hart. They scored 26 of the Blazers' 40 points in that quarter, and they did so on 10 of 13 shooting, 6 of 8 on their three-pointers. Absolutely dominant, helping the Blazers take what was a close game and turn it into a 17-point halftime lead. They never looked back. Second-chance points, they doubled up the Bucks there, and just dominating the offensive glass tonight with a 122-107 victory over the Bucks here inside of Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line, and the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Greg, I know, in the spirit of what today is, you have prepared, you do this annually, so you've prepared something special for us. We already have a couple of listeners chiming in as well with some poems that they have put together. I'm not sure how much I agree with this one, but we encourage that as well. If you want to put together a Valentine's Day poem for us and for the Bucks, feel free to leave that as well on the Twitter account at 620WTMJ. But I started with Serge Ibaka. Let's do the overreaction special and say, okay, you saw 31 minutes of him. What do you think? Exceed expectations, below expectations, meet expectations. I would assume nobody is going to say below expectations. I would say a majority of people would say, hey, met my expectations for one game. That would be the category I'm in. I think what exceeded my expectations was seeing him play 31 minutes tonight. But he's a veteran guy. You saw the differences between he and Bobby Portis. The Bucks did a much better job, I wouldn't say containing, but at least keeping Yusef Nurkic somewhat away from the glass. Like it was bordering on disaster at times when you had the minutes of Bobby Portis out there, and that's not a knock on Bobby Portis. The body size of Nurkic, he is going to destroy Bobby Portis in the post. He's going to do that to most players. You need a guy like Brook Lopez or Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic or Serge Ibaka, and we saw Serge Ibaka have a little bit of success there, had a block shot which did not make its way into the official stat book on the first possession of the game, got a recovery block, which Ben Bruss pointed out. You know, that's the first time this season we've seen somebody other than Giannis have one of those weak side, help side defender blocks, and Serge Ibaka was able to do that. So you knew the intangibles that he was going to bring. We did see him attempt a three-pointer. We saw him knock down a mid-range shot. That's going to be his game. Wait for those open looks, do that, but he's out there to be a defender. Saw a little bit of the versatility and the ability to switch a little bit on defense as well, which again is something that's not going to be the strength of Bobby Portis. So this just helps you play differently. It's not the versatility of PJ Tucker. I saw a lot of people rush to judgment on Thursday saying this is a slam dunk trade for the Bucks. You're able to do so many different things with Serge Ibaka. Great move by John Horst. I agree it's a good move. It's still not checking off all the boxes that PJ Tucker did. But I leave this game encouraged with what I saw from Serge Ibaka. Now the big question is, what do you do with him tomorrow? Do we see Serge Ibaka tomorrow? I'm inclined to believe, given what Bud said before the game, Giannis is likely to play in tomorrow's game, but it's a back-to-back. It's a veteran player. It's a guy that's coming off of back surgery, wasn't playing a whole lot of minutes, at least not comparative to what he had played earlier in his career so far this season with the Clippers. And we know how much the Bucks like to ease guys into the mix. Think about P.J. Tucker last year when he came, and I think it was a hamstring issue that kept him out for a couple of stretches there. And he talked about, you know, I feel like I can play. On most other teams I'd be playing, but I get what they're doing here. Wonder if we'll even see Serge Ibaka in tomorrow's game. But I leave the game encouraged, and I slide between met expectations and lean towards exceeded expectations. Still in the middle, mostly meets expectations one game into the Serge Ibaka experience. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us on the program tonight. You saw the 31 minutes of work tonight. First of all, when you saw the Bucks got Serge Ibaka, Greg, your immediate reaction was,
they got a big. My goodness. Thank you. They got a big. They needed one. I mean, like, again, and this is no slight to Bobby Portis. You said yourself, someone is imposing, like Yusef Nurkic, is going to have his way down in the post. You just need another size. You need an imposing force that isn't Giannis. And as an example today, Giannis was not available. So I was glad they got a big. I'm with you, too. I think he exceeded my expectations of 31 minutes. Now, he's not a buyout guy. He is a veteran. He's been playing most of the season, so it's not like that's a heavy load, but you kind of think, and Eric Name asked Bud in the pregame, was like, hey, like, remember when Grayson put down 30 minutes a game? Like, is this a pace that we're going to keep seeing him? And Bud basically said, like, listen, if we need these guys, like, we're going to use them, and this isn't to just punt on the regular season. So, hey, Serge, welcome to the club. This is what we need of you. Hopefully you're ready.
He was averaging 15 minutes a game this season, and that's really where the number I kind of landed on. And look, this may become the case, and maybe it's just, yeah, we didn't have Giannis tonight. It's basically Serge and Bobby. And Greg Monroe, by the way, which there is some things to point out with Greg Monroe. We'll get to in a little bit as well. But it may just be the case of, hey, if Giannis is healthy, if Giannis is 100%, maybe Serge Ibaka plays 15, 18 minutes tonight. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. Maybe he doesn't play tomorrow. Maybe we'll find that out on Thursday. But he was averaging 15 minutes a game coming into play tonight. This is a guy who really the last, I don't know, ever since his rookie year has been high 20s, 30 minutes a game. It was a low 20s last year, but again, that was just 40 games. But he's routinely been around 27, 28, 30 minutes that he's averaged throughout his career. Now, the interesting aspects to this deal is he started to look much, much better right around Christmas Day this year, right before Christmas is when some of the scoring started to pick up. Had a 17-point game against the Sacramento Kings in December, right before Christmas. Had another 17-point game about a week later against the Timberwolves. He was in double figures a handful of times over that stretch. Scored 20 points against the Lakers in his second-to-last game in a Clippers uniform. Back-to-back games, he had 14 points and 11 rebounds, and then 20 points and 8 boards against the Lakers. So he started to build up those strong performances. And then 7 points and 7 boards against the Bucks in 18 minutes of work, where you got to see him up close. But so far this season, you know, we talked about averaging around 15-ish minutes a game. This is just the second time this season that Serge Ibaka has played 30 minutes or more in a game. 33 points in that 33 minutes in that 20-point game against the Lakers in about 10 days ago. And other than that, I mean, he's had now, in addition to this game, 4 games this season where he's played 25 or more minutes. So he's basically been sitting at 15 to 18 minutes a game this season. Does that mean there's a lot left in the tank for the stretch drive? Maybe, and I think that's the hope for the Bucks. But the front court, you added some depth, but it could continue to change over the course of not only the next couple of weeks, next couple of hours, for reasons that we'll get into in a moment. But 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Tonk and text line. When we return, those names on the buyout market, who has been bought out, who has cleared waivers, what are the expectations, what are the latest rumblings that we're hearing for what the Bucks may do on the buyout market. And also, I mentioned, hey, things could change in the next couple of hours. Why that is and what we're talking about in the front court. Next on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Holiday's got it on the other end. 1-point lead now for Portland as they retake the advantage. Holiday feeds Wara. Wara catch and shoot three all nylon on our first three-pointer of the night by the Bucks. That's presented by Coors Light.
Jordan Wara started fast, and look, overall, the first quarter from Jordan Wara, I left encouraged. Before this game, we heard from Coach Mike Budenholzer, and we heard him asked about Pat Connaughton and what the absence of Pat Connaughton means for not only this roster, but specifically a roster that has struggled to get anything going in terms of production off the bench. Now, look, we're not making excuses for the Bucks. They've obviously dealt with injuries. They dealt with a lot of changes to the makeup of this team. Brook Lopez being out of the mix here changes things and takes away some of that punch, as we mentioned, Bobby Portis provides to the second unit. Now you lose Pat Connaughton. Grayson Allen, I think we thought, eventually would slide onto the bench, and Dante DiVincenzo would reassume that role as a starter. Dante delayed in his return to the floor for COVID reasons, other injuries or setbacks that he suffered, and then just struggled in that timeshare with Grayson, with Pat. They were just never able, and I shouldn't say were just, they still continually are just not able to get any type of consistency and continuity going there on that bench. And especially in the month of November, it seemed like daily somebody was being plucked off the bench and placed into the starting lineup. That's continued throughout the season. Giannis has missed time. Drew has missed time. Chris has missed time. When you're out without, when you're going without Bobby, Bobby being slid in there to the starting lineup, it's changed all of the makeup of that roster and taken away some of that consistency and scoring from the bench. But you looked at tonight and you said, okay, with no Pat Connaughton, Jordan Wara to me seems like the guy most logical currently on the roster to take those minutes and to make the most of this opportunity and become the guy that can do the one thing, or I shouldn't say the one, but one of the biggest things the Bucks have been missing this season, and that is consistently score off the bench in those minutes when he's on the floor. We saw that early in the opening quarter, but for Jordan Wara, the challenge is and has always been everything outside of scoring the basketball. Defense, rebounding, passing, all of it. You need more than just point production from Jordan Wara. We saw the good and his ability to score and really light it up early in this game, in the opening quarter. But then as the game continued to unfold, we saw the rest of it. And this really reminded you of early on in the season when those injuries first started to pop up. Jordan Wara went through the same thing. Jordan Wara would give you some offense, and then you would have some lapses defensively, issues boxing out, issues rebounding the ball, whatever it was. The point production didn't offset everything else. You can go out there and you can light it up. You can score 8 points. But if your man on defense, your defensive assignment, if your man is beating you, if you're giving up the box out, if you're giving up second chance points, and you may score 6 points, but they had the possessions you were defending on, they just had 8 points. Coming away negative. Jordan Wara, you saw the good and the bad tonight. He scored 8 points in the opening quarter. 3 of 4 shooting, came out there, was filling it up. In that second quarter, we saw a couple of issues. We saw some of the defensive issues. We saw some lapses out there. We saw a couple of instances of the 50-50 balls where he had an opportunity for an offensive rebound in the corner, didn't get it. Portland gets the rebound. They go the length of the floor and turn it into points. Those are the things you got to take advantage of if you're Jordan Wara. I still think of everybody out there, he has the best opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to be the guy that takes those Pat Connaughton minutes. We heard Jordan Wara. We heard Wesley Matthews, who we can get into in a moment. Serge Ibaka was another name that Bud brought up. There is going to be an opportunity now with Pat Connaughton out for a month. Somebody needs to fill that role of the wing player that can play a 2, a 3, a 4, whatever it is, but play 20-ish minutes a night. And if you can score, even better. But you have to play defense to stay on the floor with this team and in this system. And tonight, that's what we didn't see from Jordan Wara in the final three quarters of the game. Yeah, it was great that he scored 17. But you needed some other things on the other end of the floor. Make winning plays without scoring the basketball. We've heard that repeatedly from Coach Budenholzer, from Darvin Ham, from everyone on the staff. That's what's going to keep you on the floor. And, you know, if we can take a look at Lindell Wigginton and what he did tonight, 11 points, 4 rebounds. Lindell Wigginton, this was the best we have seen of him. This was amongst the most we've seen of him. We saw him quite a bit in the game against the Phoenix Suns as well. And Eric Name, our friend, asked Bud about the minutes that Lindell Wigginton played in that game, specifically against Chris Paul. And you know, as Bud said, yeah, I mean, there's no better matchup to have. If you're a young player and if you're trying to figure things out and what are some of the things I can pick up, how can I stay in this league, what are the things I should be doing, no better matchup to have and to learn from in a crash course setting than being matched up against Chris Paul. But for Lindell Wigginton, it's really 3 games where we've seen quite a bit of him. Tonight, the 17 minutes that he played. Played 17 minutes against the Phoenix Suns on Thursday, played 12 minutes against the Blazers. So a majority of his minutes have come against the Portland Trail Blazers. But tonight, far and away, the best performance of his career, of his very young career. And we got a chance to see quite a bit of him. You saw the good and not as much of the bad. You saw an ability to play within himself. I never felt as though Lindell Wigginton was trying to take over and force the hand. He was comfortable playing within the system and taking what came to him. And defensively, you know, I touched on some of the things he did against Anfernee Simons. And granted, There were a couple of possessions where Anthony Simons ended up getting the basket, but you saw Lendell Wigginson's ability to get through screens, to go over the top and stick on Anthony Simons. At times, as crazy as it sounds, you almost wanted Lendell Wigginson out there on him more so than you wanted Drew Holiday. Just the difference in body size played into it a little bit, and Lendell Wigginson was able to just get through those screens a little better and get around them than Drew Holiday was. So if he can continue to play like that, Lendell Wigginson becomes an interesting option to soak up some of those minutes while George Hill is out. But look, the Bucks just need some punch right now. No George Hill, no Pat Connaughton, no Giannis tonight. Still without Brooke Lopez. You need to get more production from that second unit because the Bucks are still in the bottom five in all of the NBA in bench scoring. We've said it over and over. You don't have to be in the top five. And frankly, you don't really want to be in the top five. If your bench is scoring that many points, it means either you are a historically great offense that is just blowing the doors off of people and scoring 150 a night, or your starters aren't all that great. I mean, when you have Giannis and Chris and Drew and Bobby in the starting lineup, you're going to score a lot of points with that group. So we're not expecting the bench to come out here and score 50 points, but we've seen stretches of 13, 15, 18, 5. You can't have performances like that. So somebody's got to carry that mantle and do a lot of the scoring here. Maybe it's Jordan Wara. I'm not suggesting it's Lendell Wigginson. Maybe it becomes Serge Ibaka. Who knows? But the Bucks continue to search for that punch off the bench. Now, maybe that's somebody on the buyout market. There's a couple of names that have already popped up there. I think there's two really, really big names. And it may come down to personal preference. Who would you rather have? But both of these players, assuming they get bought out, they're both players that very much would fit a lot of needs that the Bucks currently have. I'll get to that in just a moment. But you know, I mentioned we may continue to see changes in the next couple of weeks. We certainly will in the next couple of hours. The Greg Monroe 10-day contract. Now, I don't have this confirmed, but I believe tonight was the final night for Greg Monroe on that 10-day deal. Can't help but notice you didn't have any type of montage or the "I will remember you, it's so hard to say goodbye" queued up for Greg Monroe.
It's on
Greg
me. Taps
carries
chest.
Your namesake.
It's on me.
But he signed the 10-day deal on the 5th. I don't know if we're saying he signed on the 5th or if it was, okay, he's passed the physical and now it happens and it's the 6th that it started. Either way, today or tomorrow is the end of the line for Greg Monroe. And it's the end of the line for this reason. The Bucks roster right now stands at 12 players. You cannot sign a 10-day contract or a player to a 10-day deal, I should say. You cannot do that unless you have 13 players on your roster. Now, how are the Bucks able to do that? Well, they signed Greg Monroe before that trade where they sent away three pieces and brought in one. So now that the roster sits at 12, Sandro Mamukelashvili, Lindell Wigginton, and Greg Monroe, those three players do not count towards the 15-player roster because Mamu and Lindell are two-way contracts. Greg Monroe is a 10-day deal. Those deals do not count towards your 15-man. So Bucks currently sit at 12. You have to be at a bare minimum at 13, but it's technically 14 players that you have to carry. Now, you do have 14 days to go with 12 players. So the Bucks do have some time to fill out that roster, but the gist of it is, I love Greg Monroe. We all love Greg Monroe. Tonight was the first chance that Bucks fans had a chance to see Greg Monroe 2.0 and shower him with moose chants as soon as he checked in. But barring the Bucks making a move in the buyout market in the next couple of hours here, Greg Monroe isn't going to be around. And I think it's tonight because, again, February 5th, and this is great to always go off of, I think, but February 5th is when he signed the deal. So let's do the math, Greg. 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. So 14th is today. That would be 10 days. Before the game, too, I don't know if you caught this, but Bud specifically referenced a couple of times, "We have Greg tonight." when talking about Serge Ibaka and how some of those minutes would be doled out. And yeah, we got Greg tonight, so that's certainly helpful. That leads me to believe that this is in fact it. So again, they got to sign somebody else if they want to, not just Greg Monroe, any player, sign them to a 10-day contract. But we may have witnessed tonight, as nostalgic and great as it was, the 11 minutes tonight, 3 points and three rebounds, that may have been it for our friend Greg Monroe. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line, the buyout market. What is the latest that we have heard? Who are these two names that seem to make the most sense for the Bucks? I'm going to ask you to take off the hater glasses. Which of the two would you rather have? Leave your personal preferences out of it. Which of these two players would help the Bucks the most? We'll give you the names after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Still down by 13. Bucks with it. Three-pointer from Holiday, and he'll can it from the left wing. A big Coors Light three from Drew Holiday, and the Bucks back to within eight on that shot. 98-90. It's a 12-4 run for Milwaukee, and boy, did they need that one. All of a sudden, here we go. Timeout on the floor.
Yeah, that was as close as the Bucks would get. A big shot from Drew Holiday at the time, but the Blazers had another answer, scoring 21 to the final 35 points of the game, and they win it tonight, beating the Bucks here at Fiserv Forum. A convincing victory for the Blazers, 122-107. The final score here with the Blazers just using a dominant performance from Anfernee Simons, who scored 31 points in a frustrating loss for the Bucks tonight. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. And this loss, I mean, we've had a handful of losses like this. We had a handful of losses like this a season ago. We were talking about it earlier tonight, and I've seen a few other people point to, well, who's the team to beat in the Eastern Conference right now, and especially given the deal that was made between the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers, a lot of, well, which team got better? What does this mean for the Heat? What does it mean for the Bucks? Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference? It's still way too early to tell, for the simple fact that, number one, Eastern Conference is incredibly bunched up. It's also going to have a lot to do with what happens in the buyout market for the teams that you say, this is the team best positioned in the Eastern Conference. The two names we were alluding to earlier are Goran Dragic and Gary Harris. Now, Goran Dragic, we'll start with him. I get the sense maybe 50%, if not more, of Bucks fans are of the mindset of, I hated Goran Dragic when he was in the Miami Heat. I hated Goran Dragic during the first round series last year and his interactions and questionable plays with Chris Middleton and others. I want no part of Goran Dragic on this Bucks team. Then you have Gary Harris, who gives you decent size, basically plays the same role as Pat Connaughton for the Orlando Magic, not necessarily as a small ball four, but he's a good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. Most of his shooting comes from the corners. He's a wing player. All things the Bucks really need right now. These are the two most obvious. And hey, let's shoot for the stars. Get both of those guys. Sure, that would be great. But if you could only choose one of those two players and say, look, one of these two guys is going to join the Bucks, you have first crack at both of them. The other is set, whoever you choose, great, I'm not coming. You can only get one of us. Which one of those two players would you rather have? Goran Dragic or Gary Harris? Which of those two players would help the Bucks out the most? Because in Goran Dragic, I mean, at one point, do we have to say, okay, do we need to be concerned with what's happening with George Hill? I know we were told on the road trip, hey, before the road trip, let's go back to, we're optimistic that George is going to be able to return at some point on the road trip. Then you got two games in, and George Hill's still on the injury report. And it's maybe then before the Suns game, we're told by Bud, yeah, he's not going to play tonight. We do have the All-Star break coming up and just three games between then. Not saying that this is totally going to happen, but it is possible that we hold him out through the All-Star break and just give him an extended rest period. George Hill was not out there tonight. I would be stunned if we see George Hill before the All-Star break. This is for a sore neck. He's a veteran guy. You know, at what point do you have to be concerned and say, we don't have a whole lot of depth in the backcourt as is. Dante's traded. Pat Connaughton's going to be coming back from a broken bone in his shooting hand. George Hill has dealt with injuries. You could need, you could use another player that can run the offense, that can give you some scoring, that can give you that organization, whether it's a combo guard or an actual point guard. It would be nice to have more options, especially if injuries are going to continue to linger throughout the season. George Hill, as of right now, has played in 41 games this season. Goran Dragic or Gary Harris? For me, it's relatively easy. For the reasons I just said there, I would much rather have Goran Dragic, not only for his ability to run the offense, to give you some scoring off the backcourt, off the bench, I should say, but more importantly, Goran Dragic is a player that has been through those playoff tests, played in the NBA Finals. Whether or not you think the bubble finals was a real finals experience, Goran Dragic went through the playoffs with the Heat, played in the bubble finals. He's played in deep playoff rounds before, all throughout his career. He's a guy that has that veteran leadership. And more importantly, I trust Goran Dragic to become a microwave off the bench more than I do Gary Harris. The fact that we continue to hear murmurs that Goran Dragic and the Bucks, there's a possibility, to me, that is the best news possible to come from these last couple of weeks. I mean, adding Serge Ibaka is up there as well. But when Goran Dragic was moved a second time, so the way that the league works here is this was done basically because of Zydrunas Ilgauskas a decade ago. The Cavs traded him. And, boy, Greg, you don't remember who they traded him to, do you? I don't recall who they traded him to.
No.
But they traded him. That team waived him. He ended up back in Cleveland in the same year. So a lot of
teams. I do remember that.
Yeah, a lot of teams said, wait a minute, what's going on here? The Cavs basically just got two players. And one of them was free because they traded, and then we cut him, and now he ends up back there. So they instituted a rule that you cannot do that. If we trade you, the team that trades you, if you're waived, you cannot rejoin that team unless an NBA calendar year has passed, or you're moved to another team in between then and now. So, in other words, it can't be the most recent team that dealt you. So, everything was trending towards, okay, you don't got to worry about Miami and the buyout market for Goran Dragic because he was moved to Toronto. We keep hearing the Raptors are going to waive him. He only played in five games for the Raptors this year. He's been away with the team. They're trying to get rid of him. And then all of a sudden, Thursday morning, late Thursday morning, early afternoon, Goran Dragic is traded from the Raptors to the San Antonio Spurs. And that means Goran Dragic is free to sign with the Miami Heat if, in fact, he is, as all of us expect, bought out. So as soon as that happened, I thought this is the worst possible news that Goran Dragic can now sign with the Miami Heat. I would assume this is a foregone conclusion. He is still living in Miami. We know his affinity for the franchise. I would assume, because I know a few people brought up, well, I mean, what if there's some hard feelings that Goran Dragic has for the Miami Heat? You traded me to the Raptors? Really? You're building up this team to contend for a championship and you move me to Toronto? I get the sense there isn't any hard feelings, and it was kind of a, hey, Goran, we're going to give you this deal, because remember 2 years ago they gave him a contract after that bubble run in the finals that a lot of people, it was him and he who shall not be named, who has since moved on, those two players got deals that you looked at the time and thought, boy, that seems like a lot of money that the Miami Heat are paying these two guys well above market rate. And then you realize, okay, they know what they're doing here. This is a nice trade chip to have. Where, yeah, you're overpaying him, but it's a short deal, and this will allow you to bring in a big contract with that. You get the sense that was the conversation with Goran. Look, we're going to reward you with this. Just know, though, there's a chance we could move you. Now, we like you. We want you around here. If we can't find that, great. But if things go that way, you would be one of the guys we look at. I still don't want to rule out the Miami Heat, and I am still inclined, and I know they haven't come up in the teams named here, but I'm still inclined to believe Goran Dragic is going to end up with the Miami Heat. But where I'm encouraged is Adrian Wojnarowski putting a couple of tweets out there earlier today. He was the one that broke the news on the timeline for Pat Connaughton, and talking about what the Bucks were looking to do. Pat Connaughton underwent surgery Monday for his fractured hand. The expectation is that the Bucks will ramp up pursuit of Goran Dragic once his buyout is complete this week. That coming from Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, the teams listed as being interested in Goran Dragic. You got the Golden State Warriors out there. The Lakers are listed as well. The Bucks. Where there's smoke, there's fire. We've said that a couple of times already on this show. And the fact that the Bucks continue to pop up there in these tweets and in these mentions from Woj about, hey, Goran Dragic, they're interested in Goran Dragic. They're really going to kick it into hyperdrive for Goran Dragic. I have gone from thinking there's no way this will happen to fully moving into the camp of I am 100% ready to be hurt and disappointed when Goran Dragic does not land with the Milwaukee Bucks. But to me, Goran Dragic, far and away, is the number one guy you should be targeting if you're the Bucks. The playoff experience, the ability to score off the bench, the ability to play alongside everybody you have in the backcourt, whether it's George Hill, Drew Holiday, Grayson Allen, whoever it is, he's a combo guy. He can play the point. He can keep you organized. He's been through those playoff battles. That's the guy you should be putting 110% of your pursuit towards is Goran Dragic. When we return, speaking of 110%, we celebrate Valentine's Day with Mr. 110. Greg Hill after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Middleton the other way. He lets it fly from three and answers from the left wing. So Milwaukee back to within three on that jump shot from Chris Middleton, who now sits with 7 points on 2 of 6 shooting.
That one at last, as the Blazers would use a big night from Anfernee Simons to beat the Bucks convincingly here tonight at Fiserv Forum. Again, 122-107, the final score. Before we get to Greg Hill, we do this basically each and every night now. The latest look at the projections in the standings, according to the 538, after this game went final, the 538 still has the Milwaukee Bucks with the second best chance of making the NBA Finals. And the Bucks and Phoenix Suns each have a 17% chance of winning the Finals. That is the best of any team in the league. We talked about this last week, though, Greg, where you kind of lose me, although maybe not, because they've been world beaters so far in the month of February. But where you kind of make me skeptical is they have the Boston Celtics third, with the third best chance of making the Finals at a 28% chance here. They do have the Heat projected to win the East. The 76ers are projected to finish second. The Bucks projected to finish third, which would mean we would have Celtics Bulls in the first round, Bucks Cavs in the first round, and the Philadelphia 76ers would be playing the winner of the play-in tournament, which, according to their projections, the first game would be Raptors and Nets. The winner of that game plays the 76ers. The loser would have to take on the winner of Hawks Hornets and win that game for the right to face the Miami Heat. Look, if I'm the Bucks, That is the best case scenario. The only thing that would make it better is if you could somehow swap out, I don't know, the Bulls and the Heat. So you're in that matchup and you can continue to dodge some of those teams in the second round. If you're the Bucks, you want to play the Celtics or the Bulls or the Cavs. As many of those opponents as you can get in this Eastern Conference continues to be a 50-50 raffle. Show up and you have a chance to win the Eastern Conference. All right, without further ado, it is Valentine's Day. And what better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than with a little bit of poetry from our very own Greg Hill.
Happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Same.
So, Justin, when I came in the office today, my mailbox was stuffed. Absolutely stuffed. As was yours, by the way. Thought it was from my wife who sent me Valentine's, but instead it was from NBA players. Yes, they sent me Valentine's. Better yet, it's different from what we did last time. See, these players, they wrote Valentine's about themselves from their perspective. So this year, I'm going to read Valentine's Day poems. Justin, it'll be up to you and everyone at home to decide who wrote said Valentine. Okay, so this year, it's from the perspective of a player. So you're guessing who wrote it. You good?
Okay.
All right. First one, here we go. Ah, heck, my back. My presence in the paint we lack. Also, my ability from three, about 34% since joining Milwaukee. Rumor has it I should be back soon, God willing, sometime before June. So gather round, place your bets. I'm still the franchise-leading scorer of the Brooklyn Nets. I write this Valentine for you from me. When we win another chip, we can go to Disney. Justin, who wrote this Valentine?
Boy, that's tough. Did you know? So it's Brooke.
Yes, it's Brooke.
Did you know Robin Lopez doesn't actually own a home on the Disney property? It's Brooke's home that Robin lives
really?
At.
Really? Okay. I did not know that.
Makes you question the brotherly rivalry.
Yeah, really.
I wouldn't let my brother live in my house, I can tell you that much.
That's true. That's fair. That's fair. All right, next one. Dear Valentine, Your Highness...
Is it spelled D-E-E-R?
It's not. Not the first one was. Good catch. Dear Valentine, Your Highness, do depart me. Now I'm teammates with Chris Duarte. Malcolm is certainly in the middle, but does he hope to play second fiddle? Objecting to the court, I asked, do you own this? They replied, well, yeah, it's Domantas Sabonis. At least I have a buddy, and Tristan's here too. He didn't bring Chloe. Seems like they're through. We're young and spry and full of spacers, just like the name of my new team in Indiana. Justin, who wrote this Valentine?
You could have also, if we had a visual component, you should have photoshopped and done a Valentine card that's actually the Spider-Man meme and just put a Brogdon and Halliburton jersey on each of the Spider-Men pointed at each other, because I believe this is Tyrese Halliburton.
Correct. And there will be a visual component to it
and
eventually.
For the record, they are the exact same player. Tyrese Halliburton is just younger. I kind of kicked around this theory right as the trade was happening. Surprise, surprise. It was met with meh from our mutual teammate, Ashton. And I've now heard more and more people that I respect in league circles say, you know, they're very similar players. I knew it. It's the Michael Scott. Uh-huh.
Thank you. You were right the whole time. All right, two more. Or one more, I say. Dear Valentine. Bye, Brooklyn. Good riddance. I didn't sign up to be in this. Just for a ring, the reason behind my pursuit. Quick, where's my fat suit? I found myself headed west on a plane, although I didn't formally complain. At least I'll play, unlike that Ben guy. Unless you make me unhappy, then it's... So greetings, Joel, Maxie, and Maury. It is not you who will be sorry. Justin, who wrote this Valentine?
I mean, it's got to be James, right? But speaking of, have you seen, we're not given free promotion here, but have you seen the new, what is it called, Bel Air? The new, basically the Fresh Prince reboot on Peacock?
Previews, yes.
Okay, I haven't seen the show yet either, but now that we have the reboot, go back, line through line, go through the lyrics. Can you not make a case for Ben Simmons replacing Will Smith as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, especially if he would have ended up in Sacramento or with the Lakers, but instead it's in Brooklyn. But still, I mean, he causes a ruckus, gets in a fight in Philly. Then everybody says, look, for your own safety and well-being, we got to get you out of here. We got to ship you elsewhere. And then he's a fish out of water, and he's playing alongside, you know, the rich family with Carlton and Uncle Phil and Ashley and Viv. And now he gets to be with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, where he's like, this is great. This is living. That's what the reboot should have been. Ben Simmons, just turn it into a reality show.
I really dig your parallels between NBA and the real world, but the fake TV world too. Oh my goodness, well, I thought we were done, Justin. Hold on a second. We had some three dots on my text message on the Super Secret text line pop up. We have a Valentine response coming in. Here it is. I'll read it right from my phone. Dear Valentine, hello, Brooklyn. Happy to be here. From the land down under, I finally up here. No more Troels down rivers. Now it's the Bronx for who I deliver. You know I'll play for you. I am no fake. That other guy won't play till after the All-Star break. And that thing on his face, doesn't it itch? Seems easy to complain through. He's acting like a little prima donna. From Rookie of the Year to newest Nets edition, I hope we get the Sixers in the playoffs. To beat them is my mission. Who wrote this super last minute revenge Valentine?
It is the Fresh Prince of Bedford Stuy.
He is.
Ben Simmons.
Yes, well done.
Unbelievable. What a batch of poems and Valentines that we had to bring an end to the second annual Valentine's Day show.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there, especially to Ben Simmons. Look, in a bit of seriousness here, I'm not surprised, but I've already seen this is also the, come on, what are you doing this to him for, and what do you expect? But the videos that have surfaced of Ben Simmons at practice and embracing Kevin Durant and his Brooklyn Nets teammates, and then you see Philadelphia media personalities and fans jumping on the mental health. Sure, whatever he says, he's clearly lying. Who cares? Number one, like, you wanted him gone, he's gone. You have James Harden, good luck with that. I cannot wait until March 10th when these two teams play.
I mean, honestly, like, on that note, just if we want to be serious again, like, the ridicule that the kid went through from having a really poor playoffs outing. So, like, yeah.
He brought some of that on himself.
Sure, of course.
How do we know what he's actually going
through? For real. And again, like, the ridicule he suffered on, like, if that was about you, man, it takes a special kind of purse, a special kind of skin thickness to try to deal with that. So just keep that in mind.
You mentioned Troel Embiid. If you did not see his tweet the day of the trade deadline, and if you don't know what it is, just do a reverse image search on that image. And, man, that for that reason alone, I hope Ben Simmons is in a place where he can play on March 10th, and I hope he's on the court for that game. Unbelievable. We are out of time here on the show. My thanks to Greg. We're back tomorrow. The Bucks and the Pacers, we get to see that Tyrese Haliburton once again here in Milwaukee. And we look for the Bucks to snap a two-game skid in the second-to-last game before the All-Star break. My thanks to everybody for hanging out for the last hour. Talk to you tomorrow night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.